Blog Talk Radio.
Live and based from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might check.
What an awesome day if you are a fan of the Memphis Grizzlies. Not only is the great, and we can all honestly say great in a variety of ways, Marcus Gasol back in Memphis. He is signed long-term. The future, in my opinion, is relatively bright, but that has caused a bit of a stir in Grizz Nation the past few days, and we will be sure to discuss that and much more. And, of course, the Summer League champion Memphis Grizzlies, all of that and more on the latest episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and we are back from a brief vacation. I know we just came back from a bit of a break, but vacation calls, and when your wife is about almost 8 months pregnant now and she wants to go on vacation, darn it, you're going on vacation. So here I am, I'm back, and I'm excited to be back with you here on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves with Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am joined in this first segment, as always, by the great, again, great is the key word today, managing editor of grizzlybearblues.com. His name is Chris Faulkner in our Grizzly Bear News segment. And Chris, even though it's been hot and kind of stormy, I know, in Memphis, it has to feel like the sun was shining pretty brightly, even if there was a little bit of overcast clouds. It looked like it was kind of sunny there today in the pictures I saw, but everybody's all smiles with the official return of Marc Gasol to the Memphis Grizzlies.
It was a stormy afternoon, Joe, but I'll say that we needed it here in Memphis. It was very sunny earlier, perhaps too sunny. Perhaps it's been too sunny all the past week. It's been hot as hell. But it's actually cooled off now with this storm. So that only adds to the day's experience for me. And it was hot with Marc Gasol earlier today in Memphis, that's for sure. He made a grand appearance in the Bluff City, and it'll really go down as a day to remember for a long time in Memphis Grizzlies and just Memphis city history. Obviously, it was nothing new, nothing groundbreaking. We knew that Mark had agreed to sign a long-term contract with the Grizzlies, but seeing the man in reveling in what was his welcoming party for the contract signed today downtown with Grizz Nation, it was something special, and his reaction to everything was, you know, just as good as the contract, in my opinion. And there's a lot to take away from that, and it's going to build some really great momentum for the Grizzlies throughout the summer, Joe.
One of the remarkable things about Marc Gasol is how humble he was, and you hear people, you know, one of the popular terms on Twitter or in, you know, in other places is the humble brag. You know, oh, yeah, I try, but, you know, I know I'm not that good. Well, you're kind of fishing for a compliment there. People can decipher that, especially as they get older. But if you see physical shock and awe, like you could see in Marc Gasol today, he literally did not think he was worthy of all of that attention. And if we're being honest with one another, professional athletes getting hundreds of millions of dollars, while there's nurses and firefighters and police officers and teachers and all. If you want to get technical, maybe they're not. But in our society and in the way things are, especially in the National Basketball Association, you could argue the Grizzlies got a deal, considering he could have taken a two-year deal, wait for the cap to explode, and then taken more money. That contract is not going to look nearly as big here in a couple of years once that cap almost doubles, that salary cap. So the fact that he was so truly humbled by the experience today speaks to the character of Marc Gasol, and that's something that I'm going to get into a little bit here in Grizzly Bear News momentarily. Ways to get in touch with the program. You can join us and follow us on Twitter. Join the conversation at GBB Live. I am on Twitter at Joe Mullinax, and Mr. Faulkner, the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, is on Twitter at Faulkner Memphis. Our program this evening, we're hoping, to be joined by Chip Williams at some point. The three of us will discuss Grizzly Bear news, Marc Gasol, obviously the major news story the past few days for the Memphis Grizzlies. We're also going to talk about the Summer League team, the Memphis Grizzlies Summer League team, which pulled out in pretty extraordinary fashion the Summer League championship, a couple of buzzer beaters from Russ Smith, Mr. Russ Diculous himself, and the Memphis Grizzlies have a Summer League championship. The future supposedly looks bright. We'll talk about who from that team has a legitimate shot at making the full 15-man roster coming out of camp. And obviously, their success, led by Coach Jason March, who's been on our program before, is great to see. We'll talk about that. We'll also discuss, I made mention of it earlier in the beginning of the show, my article for the week that talked about the need for a trade or lack thereof. In my opinion, this Grizzlies team in the Western Conference is still a contender in the West. If you can get to the second round, you can get to the Western Conference Finals, roll the ball out, see what happens. This team as constructed can do that, in my opinion. That was the minority opinion, it turns out. And it's been a fun day for me, both on the blog and on Twitter. We'll discuss that as well. In the second segment, Sam Vecenie of CBSSports.com is going to join us. I know there's some Memphis Tigers fans out there. I know there's breaking news with Austin Nichols that I'm interested in personally, because I just saw Gary Parrish tweet out that all of a sudden UVA is in the lead for him. And I'm probably going to stay away from that on Twitter and on the blog, but that would be pretty cool if Austin Nichols went to UVA, the team that I cheer for in basketball. So Sam, his main thing is college ball. We'll talk to him a little bit about that. But the main topic of conversation will be the Summer League, the draft picks, Jarrell Martin, who obviously did not play in the Summer League because of his foot injury, and then Andrew Harrison, who had hit or miss Summer League at best, you could argue, a bit inconsistent. We'll talk about Jarnell Stokes, whether or not we think he can play in the NBA, being a bit undersized. He showed, obviously, that he had worked on his game, but can Jarnell be a legitimate threat in the NBA? That will be topics of conversation with Sam Vecenie of CBS Sports Basketball. Final segment, we'll have Chris Harrington back on the program of the Memphis Commercial Appeal. He is an NBA and Grizzlies contributor to that wonderful publication. He also has his own podcast called the Pick and Pop Podcast that you can check out over at the Commercial Appeal. We'll talk to him about the Summer League Championship roster, who from the team has a legitimate chance at making that final team. You would imagine Jordan Adams is a lock, but outside of that, there's some questions, even with the heroics of Russ Smith in that Summer League championship game and beyond. We'll talk about Gasol being back, the need for a trade potentially, vet minimum guys, especially a big perhaps or another guard that they could maybe target in a free agency with that veteran minimum, and then the idea of the 2011 Dallas Mavericks. I've talked about it on the blog. We've talked about it on the show. The idea of people calling for it to be blown up, as the 2011 Dallas Mavericks were before the championship run that they had. They make fringe improvements. They keep the core together, and that continuity eventually leads to a title. We'll talk about whether or not that's possible for the Grizzlies. So, second segment, Sam Vecenie will join us. Third segment, Chris Harrington. But first, it's Chris Faulkner with some Grizzly Bear news. And Chris, as we talked about in the beginning of the show, Marc Gasol is the major news story. He had a big party in downtown Memphis today, inflatables and food trucks. Pete Pranica did a great job with the introduction of Mark, the birthday boy, Pete Pranica, also been on the show in the past. Happy birthday to you, Pete. Something that stood out to me, Chris, in his introduction and discussion of Marc Gasol is how he talked about building an NBA roster is hard. And what really makes an NBA roster special is when you have a roster that has talent, a roster that has character. And character is so, so important when it comes to not just being a player, but being a good man. And when it comes to Marc Gasol, and you look at the alternative of say, a DeAndre Jordan, going back on his word, and you can make arguments for DeAndre. Hey, he changed his mind. Is he not allowed to change his mind? Of course he's allowed to change his mind. But at the same time, I was taught at a young age, that you are only as good as your word in this life. And if you commit to something, you honor that commitment. I've heard stories all throughout my career, whether it be coaching or playing. I played high school and college football, of people making a promise, making a commitment, and then sticking to it. And to me, character goes a long way in this life. And it goes a long way, of course, in sports, because so much of sports mirrors life. So the fact that not only is the best center in the NBA back with the Grizzlies, not only is one of the best players in the NBA back with the Memphis Grizzlies, I think we can say that one of the best people in the NBA is back with the Memphis Grizzlies, and that is well worth the max contract that Marc Gasol has inked.
Very well said, Joe. If you're talking about character and about valuing character and putting stock in it, the Grizzlies just signed one of the all-time greats in that respect. And aside from Marc Gasol's universal character that was, on display today, we're talking about someone who is extremely loyal and committed to the city of Memphis and the community here. He even said in his press conference today that if he had ended up somewhere else, which also, by the way, if you watched the press conference, there was no chance of that ever happening. There's really no option other than Memphis for Marc Gasol. But even if he had gone elsewhere, ended up elsewhere, his commitment to the community of Memphis and particularly St. Jude, he was very adamant about declaring that he would have still been committed to both those causes that are very important to him and his life. But, as it turns out, everything we talked about last week, Joe, about, we're all uneasy about Mark and him resigning because he was taking a while, and we hadn't heard news in, days at some period. Everything we talked about, what we thought Mark was thinking and experiencing, pretty much turned out to be true. It never crossed his mind that we were all kind of sitting here twiddling our thumbs and refreshing our mobile and desktop devices every minute, waiting to hear what he was thinking. He was, as he said, I believe he said it takes takes a little bit longer to do things over in Spain, where they take their time in Spain. And boy, did he. And we called it. That's what we imagined was going on. And it's really funny to think that, if you're taking more time than someone in Memphis is comfortable with, Memphis being known for a pretty laid-back style, things go pretty slowly here. If Memphis is getting anxious about something, it's on a different level of chill. And I think it's just a great extension of Mark's nativeness here in Memphis. He's just that chill and that confident about the decisions that he's made. I particularly loved the segment where Mark described his interaction with his wife over the topic, and how his wife pretty much never really brought up the topic of where he would go and his free agency, even with her being present for all these other teams like the Knicks and Lakers and et cetera, knocking on his door, and media from those markets asking Mark if he was interested in them. She never said anything, and eventually Mark brought it up. He said, he thought, oh, do you not care, where we end up? And just a priceless reply from Mark's wife of, she knew that he had already made up his mind, so there's no reason to talk about it. And that's just something really special that we should not take for granted as fans, having someone like that who's not from Memphis and not even from this country, in fact, take genuine pride and genuine care in the city that he has adopted and has adopted him. And another one of my favorite lines from Mark today was that his what he lives for in the NBA. He did not say winning a championship, even though we know that's extremely important to him. His goal in playing basketball is to make the city of Memphis proud. And for residents or adopted residents or fans of the Grizzlies to be able to carry that with them, the pride of this team and the quality of basketball and the character of the franchise and the players. He wants the city to be proud of the Memphis Grizzlies, and that's what is most important to him, words out of his mouth, and that's pretty incredible. And, you know, when you, Joe, when you take into consideration all of that, he's an absolute steal. What we're getting in Marc Gasol is, you know, it goes way beyond what he does on the basketball court.
Listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live, I am your host, Joe Mullinax, joined by the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. His name is Chris Faulkner. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you do not already, at Faulkner Memphis. That's FaulkNer. And as we've been discussing, Marc Gasol officially back with the Memphis Grizzlies. Foregone conclusion. Some folks were getting nervous, but as we just discussed, things go a little bit slower in Spain. He had a nice dinner with Robert Pera. He said, also I noticed, and maybe he was half joking, he didn't fully understand the moratorium, which clearly not many folks do, if you judge Emoji War from last week. But it's fascinating how he views the process and how differently he views it from other players. It's not about getting maximum money, but he got max money. He got a huge contract, over $100 million, that he probably never thought in his wildest dreams he would ever get. It's not about making every cent that you possibly can for him. It's about making a place proud. It's about supporting his family. I can assure you that his wife and his little baby and however much his family grows from there, they're going to be just okay on that $100 million contract. He wants to be a part of a place where he feels loved. And I can assure you that he is loved in Memphis, and I think that that overwhelmed him a bit today. The Memphis Grizzlies in general are loved in Memphis, and so much so, Chris, that even though I was on vacation last week, I followed along on Twitter and I tried to watch a little bit online, but it was hard to while at the beach. The NBA Summer League was a big deal for the Memphis Grizzlies fans. Lots of folks watched it, followed along. I know on GrizzlyBearBlues.com we have a running diary of the championship game from Chip Williams. Other great recaps of the game that folks should go check out if they missed the Grizzlies in Summer League play. Grizzlies are champions, Chris. That's kind of a big deal, especially considering that the folks that led the charge are guys that potentially are the future of this franchise, the Jordan Adams and the Russ Smiths of the world.
It is. I think it's a big deal. It's a big deal right now, as big a deal as anything can be in the middle of the summer right now. And you know who else thought it was a pretty big deal, Joe? Tying back into our first segment there, Marc Gasol specifically mentioned the Grizzlies Summer League champions in his press conference today and how proud he was. He also mentioned that in his interview with Pete Pranica before that. And that's, if it gets Marc Gasol excited, it's going to get me a little excited. And I was already excited just from watching the games because, like you mentioned earlier, that we had some pretty exciting finishes for the Grizzlies. They had some comebacks, had some clutch moments, and had a lot of consistent production from some of the guys that we were kind of looking for that production from. And I joked also that there were probably more. I would like to see the TV ratings comparison between Memphians who watched Grizzlies Summer League and Americans who watched the Wimbledon tennis championship match. And hopefully, I imagine the tennis would outweigh it in that regard. But I guarantee, if you compared Memphians, just Memphians who watch Grizzly Summer League or Memphis who watch Wimbledon, it'd be overwhelmingly in favor of Grizzly Summer League. People went nuts for it, and rightfully so. It was a pretty ripe year for the Summer League. We had probably the highest number of potentially professionally contributing players that we've ever had before that I can remember in Summer League, at least in the past 5 or 6 years. And, you had Russ Smith, who was an experienced player and a little bit older of a player. And then you had our young guns and Jordan Adams and Jarnell Stokes, who, it was really important for them to show their development more than anything, I think, what they've kind of worked on since we saw them last summer. Obviously, Russ Smith kind of took a hold of the whole thing and really made it his own and, essentially won the Grizzlies the championship, if you want to look at it that way. But it was really fun to watch, and it's also good to know that someone like Marc Gasol is as excited about it as we are. And that's very cool, and I think that's hopefully something that points towards the Grizzlies' younger core having a bigger role next season.
And it's something, especially when you look at the stats, all right, obviously Jordan Adams didn't play every game. He was sat out of one game. I believe he did not play in the Hornets game was the game that he was rested in. But you look at the numbers, and you see poor shooting percentages from Jordan Adams, but that's not necessarily the most important thing. You're not going to drop Summer League stats consistently and say that's the end-all, be-all for how a player is. And you also have to take in consideration Jordan Adams was the major focus of the offense in the Summer League. He's not going to be that for the Memphis Grizzlies. He, at best, will be a 12-minute rotation player, and that's probably being generous if the roster stays as it is. There might not be minutes for him. But you look at his numbers, he averaged 16 points a game. You look at Russ Smith, he was able to have 6 assists and 29 minutes of play in the Summer League, 14.8 points per game for Russ. You look at Jarnell Stokes, 6.6 rebounds and 12 points in his time playing. Those are the guys, and Andrew Harrison, excuse me, is another one, shot well from three, shot 40% from three, shot better from three than he did overall from the field. These are the guys that you're looking at, Chris, in terms of their numbers, no offense to the Tony Crockers and the Raymond Cowles and those kinds of guys, the Phillip Scrubs of the world, Alex Kirk, who I watched play, and, he was Alex Kirk out there. No offense to those guys, but you're looking at a roster in Memphis that is so veteran-laden that it's going to be difficult for any of these guys outside of Jordan Adams and maybe a Russ Smith to find consistent minutes, if any minutes at all. So you're looking for guys that are going to make the roster. And the only ones that really have a shot at that, Chris, are Jermichael Green, Jarnell Stokes, Russ Smith, Jordan Adams, and Andrew Harrison. Jarrell Martin, this year's first-round pick, guaranteed contract, he's on the roster. Same thing with Jordan Adams. I would say he is a lock at this point to be on this team. So that leaves you Jermichael Green, Jarnell Stokes, Russ Smith, Andrew Harrison. Of those four, Chris, I would say Russ Smith was the most impressive. Plus, you have to consider now that Nick Calathes more than likely gone. He hasn't officially signed a contract yet. But for all intents and purposes, I think Memphis is moving on thinking he won't be there, at least at this point. Maybe he will, some shocking, surprising move. Outside of Russ Smith, you got Jermichael Green, you got Jarnell Stokes, you got Andrew Harrison. You have to imagine at least one of those guys, maybe two, are gone by the end of training camp in October.
Yeah, as we know, the Grizzlies could still have something left to, do before the summer's over. It's been speculated they might add another veteran presence with a little bit of cash they have left. So that would definitely kind of choke the odds for some of these guys. I personally think it would be kind of stupid to get rid of or cut Russ Smith at this point just because of what you've seen from him on the court and just kind of who he is as a person off the court. Is a very strong personality, a very put-together mind that Russ Smith has. He's very competent and very, very savvy. And, he's someone who could be a star of some degree. He's limited with his physique. He's a smaller player, but – he's got the machismo that you want in an NBA player, especially someone who's going to be handling the ball and potentially, you know, playing in some important minutes. I don't know. Depending on how Russ develops, one thing I do love from his summer league play was the limited turnovers. That's a very good sign, especially when you talk about kind of translating some of that momentum he's built into, you know, NBA play. That's what you want to see. You don't want to see a bunch of turnovers in summer league because odds are they would probably double in the NBA. But he's committed to being a complete player, as we've heard in his interview with Chris Vernon. And he kind of looks like he's trending towards that. And, you know, I don't know if Bano can necessarily rest easy. He's getting a little bit older, coming off an injury. I love Bano. Obviously, he brings a whole lot to the Grizzlies. But this Russ Smith guy, I think, has something to offer. And there was a reason that they, you know, targeted him in a trade last season. It wasn't just to get rid of Quincy Pondexter necessarily, I don't think. I definitely don't think that at this point. I think the guy has something to offer. And, you know, if he ends up being the odd man out on the roster, I think the Grizzlies are just going to look back at that like they did at Hassan Whiteside last season, because the guy's going to go somewhere else and probably make a splash.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We are finishing up our first segment of Grizzly Bear News with Mr. Chris Faulkner, the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at FaulknerMemphis. And make sure that you're interacting with us on Twitter at GBBLive or via the chat room. You can certainly log into the chat. It is live, and I moderate it as we speak. We had a great conversation last time we were on the air talking about possible trades and things of that nature. So make sure if you're listening live, you log into the chat and join us in the chat room. Chris, we'll get you out of here on this. I created a bit of a stir, which I'm usually good for, on the blog and on Twitter. And this week, and I talked about it on, I tweeted this out this morning, you know, usually it's about me being too hard on these guys or wanting to trade Zach Randolph or being hard on Tony Allen. In my
right.
2 or 3 years on the blog, that's been what people get mad at me about. This time I put out a positive article talking about how the Memphis Grizzlies, even if they don't make a trade, which obviously Danilo Gallinari was floated and nothing came of it, Joe Johnson was floated, nothing came of it, those would be great. But if they don't make that trade, they can still contend in the Western Conference thanks to their additions of Matt Barnes, of Brandon Wright. Tom Ziller yesterday put out a great article talking about win shares, again, a crude measure, as he put it himself. Not perfect by any stretch, but technically, if you use the win share model alone, you could argue that Memphis had just as good, if not better, of an offseason than the San Antonio Spurs. And boy, oh boy, did I get crushed, Chris, by a variety of folks. I'm surprised to say I'm in the minority thinking that the Grizzlies, as a potential top five seed in the Western Conference, could still contend to get to the Western Conference Finals. Obviously, Golden State and San Antonio seem to be the class of the conference. But outside of that, Chris, am I really that crazy for thinking that it's possible that these Grizzlies can contend in the West?
I don't think you're crazy at all, Joe, and I think there's a couple of underlying elements that would also support your article and your stance there. You, with how the Grizzlies organization, the franchise, is set up right now, they are still, it's still a young rendition of the franchise. If you want to consider Robert Parrish's purchase of the Grizzlies as a sort of starting over point to some degree, I really think that his vision for the team and his vision for just how to run an NBA franchise or run anything really has a cumulative effect. And I think that seeing how he spends his money will start to show benefits and effects. I think we might start seeing it this year. It takes a while for nuances to really build up and show, you know, that they made a difference. If we can figure out, if Robert Bera and the medical staff can figure out how to keep Mike Conley healthy for a whole season, and, you know, also Mark Gasol, who, like you mentioned, Joe, on Twitter, it looks like Mark's lost some weight again, even more. He looks even slimmer and fitter than he did during last season playing a season of professional basketball at his lowest weight he's had since he was, you know, 12 years old. So I think there are some cumulative factors here for the Grizzlies with especially medically training wise that could start showing an advantage here soon, outside of just the X's and O's of what they're putting together on the roster. The roster is only as good as their health. They're only as good as they are able to consistently perform. And that's also something that Mark talked about in his press conference today. And, you know, I think there's some other things that the Grizzlies can sort of get ahead on as far as compared to the rest of the league, other than just who they're signing in free agency and what they can do in trades. And not to mention Dave Yeager's also on that same sort of pattern of growth, and you know, he's going into his third season now. I think we might see some better coaching from Dave Yeager as he's sort of kind of figured out what he's capable of doing with this roster and what you know, how that affects how his approach to the season, the incredibly long 82 game season that is in the NBA. So Joe, I think the Grizzlies did improve the roster. I think the addition of Marc Gasol is obviously required, but I also think reacquiring Marc Gasol is not just getting back the same guy. I think Marc Gasol is going to continue to get better, whether that be in leadership or his skill on the court or his chemistry with, you know, how everything operates. I think that's going to provide more value than just standing pat and keeping par. And I think it's going to have a domino effect throughout the Grizzlies organization. Putting Mark's emphasis on creating a winning culture is a very important thing. And that's something that can fill in the cracks of an organization and really you know, galvanize what everyone's trying to do. And that's going to get the most out of everyone. And that's what I'm hoping for as we move into, you know, the next season. Is I don't think the Grizzlies have to shake everything up, and you know, they definitely need some more shooting, but that can come internally if, you know, if they play it right. And I think increased health for the next season will also play a big factor, because I mean, look at Golden State. They stayed healthy the whole season. They had an amazing team, but they stayed healthy. And there is no guarantee that they or the Spurs are going to be as fortunate, you know, going into the next season. And the Grizzlies just need to kind of mind their own business and put their nose down to the grindstone and take care of what they need to do. And if, you know, if the organization and the vision is playing out like everyone seems to be thinking it is, we should hopefully have a better team for the 2016 NBA playoffs.
I think they are going to be better. I think they're better today than they were 3 weeks ago. And I think that this team is a top five team in the Western Conference. And in my opinion, if you are a top five team in the extremely difficult Western Conference of the National Basketball Association, you are a contender. Call them a second tier contender like our guest here in the next 30 minutes or so, Chris Harrington, does. And I agree with that. Fine. Call them a dark horse. Fine. They are still a contender. They still have the potential to make waves in the NBA playoffs, which is more than you can say for about 80% of the National Basketball Association. To me, that is worth supporting, being positive about. And one of the major things to be positive about with that, Chris, is it's a team of character. I'm a believer in that. Thank you, Chris, for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Make sure you're following the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, Chris Faulkner, at Faulkner Memphis. Before we get to our next guest, I want to give a quick shout-out to Audible.com, powered by Amazon, one of our great sponsors of this program. Sign up using www.audibletrial.com/GrizzlyBearBlues and get yourself a membership with Audible.com today. Over 150,000 titles to choose from, fiction, nonfiction, biographies, everything in between. You can download, you can put it to the cloud, CD, MP3, however you enjoy your digital content, you can enjoy it using Audible.com. And if you sign up using this URL, www.audibletrial.com/GrizzlyBearBlues, not only do you get an audiobook membership for joining, not only do you get a download for joining, you also help us here at GBB Live make a donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, something that is very near and dear to the heart of Marc Gasol, as he talked about today in his press conference, something that is very near and dear to the hearts of most Memphians and us here at GBB Live. No family that goes through the doors of St. Jude has to pay a cent for their treatment or their lodging. That is not free. It costs an obscene amount of money to keep that going year after year, and it comes mostly through charitable donations and charitable work. We want to be a part of that process here at GBB Live. So once again, www.audibletrial.com/GrizzlyBearBlues. Sign up for a great audiobook service powered by Amazon's Audible.com and help support an even better cause. Our next guest is from CBS Sports Basketball, their basketball coverage. He does a great job talking about the NBA draft, college basketball, does a little bit of NBA as well. We're going to talk a lot about the Grizzlies draft picks. We're going to talk about their summer league roster and who impressed and who did not, talk about the NBA at large, and we'll lead off with a little bit of Memphis Tigers, since I know some folks are fired up about some news that came as we came on the air tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me, and welcoming to the program for the first time, Mr. Sam Vecina. Sam, good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
Not too much, you know, just enjoying the wonderful studio space that is the nursery that I painted the past couple of weeks. You know, it's amazing doing these blog talk radio shows. You can, you know, just find space and put on your program. It's really cool how technology has grown and developed, and I always am amazed by that. I know I probably sound like my, you know, 70-some-year-old grandparents, but it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty neat that we're able to do this, and I think it's awesome that we're able to have you on the show. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, anytime. Glad I could finally come on. We've been trying to do this for a while and just kind of failed due to our schedules.
You're a busy man, and you know, and we're busy here at GBB Live, and you know, we try to take to a schedule, and I know you're busy, so it's all good, and I appreciate you being able to come on tonight. We'll lead off with something that we didn't quite discuss doing, but since so many are talking about it, I figured I would ask you for your take. The Austin Nichols situation with the Memphis Tigers, it appears that he has been officially released from his scholarship, able to transfer anywhere. And the main reason, if I'm being honest, it's a little bit selfish here, Sam. I'm a UVA basketball fan, and it sounds like, according to Gary Parrish from CBS Sports, he might be on his way to Charlottesville.
Yeah, on our podcast yesterday, Gary kind of explained that whole situation where, as far as I know, I guess that whatever one of the Joneses that built the arena out in was either Memphis or Virginia, he's connected to the Austin Nichols AAU coach. I believe it's John Paul Jones Arena.
John Paul Jones Arena, that's right, JPJ.
Yeah. And he's connected to Austin Nichols AAU coach. It's actually John Tudor Jones connected to Austin Nichols AAU coach because it's the son named the arena after the father. So there's that connection, and there's also the fact that Virginia was one of Austin Nichols' finalists whenever he officially decided to go to Memphis 2 years ago or 3 years ago, maybe at this point. But yeah, I mean, that would be a pretty incredible grab for Tony Bennett. He'd absolutely kill in that system just because he's a guy that can do a little bit of face-up work. He's really good on the block. He's a terrific defensive player, block shots, holds his own on the block, and he's a good rebounder. So that seems like a pretty perfect fit to me. He's a smart basketball player, so I know that Bennett will love that too. So I'd be a pretty big fan of him going to Virginia. Just kind of stinks the whole way it didn't work out at Memphis.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. And I think that I fully subscribe to that opinion. That way I won't get completely pelted by the Memphis fans that follow me on Twitter and all that fun stuff, listen to the show. It sucks that he's leaving Memphis. It's a sad, sad story. I wish it didn't happen. Shows that there's some deeper issues there, whether it be with Pastner, the head coach, or whether it be with Nichols and the players. Whatever it is, it's a crappy situation. But if it had to go down, at least he's coming to Virginia and Charlottesville. And if that does indeed happen, as a UVA basketball fan, I will be a fan of that development. But we can all, before as I duck and dodge the Rotten Tomatoes that'll be flying my way, we're all fans of the Memphis Grizzlies, at least that are part of the GrizzlyBearBlues.com network and blog, and also a part of GBB Live. And the Grizzlies draft, folks are starting to warm up to it, it sounds like. Jarrell Martin on draft night, it was a pick that was almost universally hated by a lot of folks, myself included. But now that we've been able to remove ourselves for a week or so here, Sam, or a couple of weeks, the pick doesn't look as bad. You do a little bit more research, you watch a little bit more tape, you know that he hasn't played as much basketball. I believe it. He hadn't played, or his first year playing was his sophomore or junior year in high school. He's raw, he's athletic, he's 6'10". He brings a dimension to that power forward spot that if Zach Randolph is gone in a couple of years, Memphis hasn't had. So it's really not a terrible pick if you're looking at the future. How do you see the Jarrell Martin pick? Are we crazy for trying to be positive about this, or is there something there that Memphis maybe has spotted in Jarrell Martin?
You know, I wasn't a real big fan of it. I'm just not a real big fan of Martin's prospects as a player in general. I had him somewhere around 35, 36 on my final big board. He ended up going 25 to you guys. The problems with Jarrell Martin are that he's a 6'9" power forward who is physical. He has no problem banging inside. He'll rebound for you just because he's strong. But he's a guy that's really going to struggle with length in the NBA because he himself only has a 6'9"-ish wingspan. So that's going to be a problem for him that he's going to have to figure out a way to finish. Plus, he's not a great shooter yet. I don't love the mechanics on his jump shot. So that's going to have to be almost a complete overhaul, in my opinion, to get him to where he would need to be. He's a good athlete, though. He can get out in transition. He runs. He kind of plays like a football player out there in a lot of ways. So I think that it's a good fit for the style of basketball that they play. I just wonder about the actual player and his skills himself, because right now I don't really think he does anything on an NBA level.
That's kind of disappointing to hear you say that. I was so positive, Sam. I was building myself up. I'm on a positive swing this week. I'm getting crushed for it on Twitter and on the blog for being so positive. And, you know, you're bringing me back down to earth a little bit. But those are fair critiques. And the wingspan thing especially is concerning, especially for those of us who have watched Zach Randolph as a Memphis Grizzly now for the past several years. As the game has changed and as players, these bigger, more athletic centers that have great long wingspans that are able to jump, more and more Zach struggles with that. Bigger, longer centers. DeAndre Jordan's a great example. They put him on Zach, and they shut him down almost completely because he's not able to deal with that length. Now, Jarrell Martin is a little bit better of an athlete than Zach Randolph, but at the same time, a lack of height at that position plus a lack of wingspan could equal some problems.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. That's going to be a major problem for him. The other thing that kind of scares me about him is you kind of alluded to it. In fact, he's only played basketball for, I believe, 4 years now at this point. His feel for the game really isn't quite there yet. He'll do a lot of silly things on the basketball. He'll poor shots from the mid-range when he's really not an efficient shooter from the mid-range. He's not a great defender yet just because he kind of doesn't have that instinctual awareness of where to be rotational. That entire LSU situation was kind of a dumpster fire, so I don't necessarily know that that's a fair critique of him, but it's something that he hasn't shown yet either. And Jordan Mickey did show an affinity for it while he was there. I probably would have taken Mickey over Martin, for instance. But having said that, you know, he said Martin is a fit for what they want to do. He's a bowling ball. He's a guy that is going to play physical. And after a couple of years, I don't think it's crazy to envision that he has developed into an NBA player and a solid backup power forward. But it's just kind of hard for me because, you know, I had guys like Jordan Mickey there. Montrezl Harrell is another power forward that would have fit there. Even someone like a Christian Wood, I think, has better potential than Martin, even though there are concerns with Wood overall about his, you know, whether or not he'll play hard and whether or not he's going to actually work hard enough off the floor to get better at what he needs to get better at. But that would have represented a higher upside for me, at least. So, yeah, I think there were better players at the same position on the board, and that's what made it tough for me.
We're speaking with Sam Vecini. Follow him on Twitter if you do not already, @Sam_Vecini. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. And the other draft pick of the Memphis Grizzlies on draft night, Sam, was Andrew Harrison. He was the 44th pick overall, I believe. John Luehr was sent to Phoenix in exchange for that pick, and they pick up Harrison. Now, his summer league was not all that impressive. He looked out of place at times, wasn't quite sure of the flow of the game. He hit some threes, which Memphis fans are excited about. He's a bigger guard, again, with Nick Calathes potentially departing Memphis. There's some value there. But when it comes to Harrison, and we'll talk more about this here in a moment with the summer league team in general, the Grizzlies only have a few spots available. Do you see Harrison making this Grizzlies roster, or is he a guy that maybe they try to hold on to his rights and convince him to go play in Europe? What is the deal with Harrison? There's a lot of folks in Memphis who don't necessarily see him as an NBA player.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting scenario there. I think that with some development, he could be an NBA player. But, you know, with summer league, it's often very difficult to judge rookies, especially rookies that are out of their comfort zone in different situations, because Andrew Harrison had been Kentucky's primary ball handler for 2 years. He's been a primary ball handler his whole career. And Memphis and Summer League in Orlando had Russ Smith, who is obviously going to handle a lion's share of the ball. He's a better player than Andrew Harrison, in my opinion, and he's a little bit more experienced. So obviously they felt a little bit better about him handling the ball in general. So I think that Harrison was in a really tough spot. More than anything, whenever it came to his performance in Orlando. And I don't know that I would necessarily say that that's indicative of whether or not he is or isn't a future NBA player. For this year specifically, I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to come down to him and Michael Green probably for that last roster spot. And Memphis really needs a big guy. Like, they just kind of need someone there who can take up space and just be big, just because right now they only have Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Brandon Wright, really, and then you have Jarrell Martin and Jarnell Stokes. You don't really know what Jarrell Martin and Jarnell Stokes are going to give you, and having more options out of those young guys probably makes more sense to me. So at that point, I think what you're talking about is probably trying to convince Andrew Harrison to go to the D League. I believe that Iowa is Memphis's affiliate, if I'm correct, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So they're going to have to try and convince him to go to Iowa, and maybe once some injuries pop up midway through the year, maybe you sign him midway through the year. Maybe you just wait until next offseason. Maybe you'd say, hey, we're not going to sign you this year. We're going to keep your draft rights, though. Maybe you can go over to Europe, make some money. Australia at this point is shelling out some money for players. So it's a tough situation for Andrew Harrison. It's an insurmountable one, though, for his career.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We're talking with Sam Vecini of CBSSports.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter @Sam_Vecini if you do not already do so. This is your host speaking at the moment, Joe Mullinax, and we're talking about the summer league in general, and you did a great job there, Sam, explaining Andrew Harrison and how a rookie can be like a fish out of water, especially a second-round pick kind of guy like an Andrew Harrison. The summer league for the Grizzlies this year was really about five guys in particular. JaMychal Green, who we didn't see a ton of because of illness, Jarnell Stokes, Jordan Adams, Russ Smith, and Andrew Harrison. We already talked about Harrison a good bit. Jarrell Martin didn't play in the summer league due to injury. Outside of those guys, the two major ones that stood out to Grizzlies fans were Russ Smith, who showed a flair for the dramatic that we really shouldn't be too surprised by, given his college career and his elaborate Twitter game. And then Jordan Adams, who has a fan club a mile long here in Memphis. A lot of folks thought he should have played more last season, especially with Vince Carter's struggles. So between those two guys, what really stood out to you when it comes to Russ Smith and Jordan Adams in terms of being contributors to a veteran NBA team or maybe just a contributor down the line?
This kind of experienced team, you're mostly talking about contributors down the line. With Russ Smith and with Jordan Adams particularly, I mean, this Memphis team went out and they kept all of their backcourt guys, plus they brought in Matt Barnes, so it's kind of hard to see a scenario where they're going to find a lot of playing time, really, especially Adams on the wing because of Barnes' acquisition. You know, Adams is a guy that I like, I don't love. I think he is more of a bench guy for his career. He's a long-armed guy who's going to get in the passing lanes. He's a solid defender, not a great defender, I would say, but he forces turnovers, so that helps a lot. And the key with him is the jump shot. He really seemed to quicken up his release a little bit during summer league, and that's a good sign. The shots didn't fall necessarily a lot of the time for him. He had a big 20-point game, I want to say, in his first game. But then after that, he was a little bit more inefficient, just like summer league games tend to be. But he's a guy that, you know, you probably could get decent minutes from him this year off the bench if you needed to. And plus, he would bring a little bit more of a different dimension because he's a good shooter. And he's a guy that can kind of create a little bit off of those hard closeouts whenever he's trying to get into the lane. Matt Barnes isn't necessarily going to do that. You don't want Tony Allen doing that. And Courtney Lee's okay at it. I would say that Jordan Adams probably has a little bit more upside as a guy who's going to create off of those closeouts. So he would bring something different at least, and that's probably intriguing to fans, especially given their offensive woes from time to time this year. I would just be surprised if it ended up happening, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think I agree with you. I like what Jordan Adams is able to do from an offensive versatility standpoint, and I said that in an article that I wrote this week for the site over at grizzlybearblues.com. He is not necessarily an athlete, but what he can do is he can get in the lane, he can get contact, he can get to the free throw line. He's an exceptional free throw shooter, and all of the great scorers are capable of doing that, making that contact, getting to the free throw line. He brings something to Memphis that they don't have. But on the flip side of that, what they do have a lot of, unfortunately for Jordan Adams, is veteran wings, whether it be Tony Allen, Courtney Lee, Jeff Green, Vince Carter. They just added Matt Barnes, as you said. Jordan is sixth on that list. It's just going to be hard for him to get time. But at the same time, it'd be nice to find some opportunity for him just to see what he could do, especially when the Memphis offense gets stuck in the mud, as they're prone to do.
And here's one of the little right. Jordan Adams is going to give the team, also Jarnell Stokes and Russ Smith, their chances. They're going to give this veteran team a chance to possibly, you know, be older guys, or even, you know, give them like a 2 or 3 break. You want to give them a week off there in the middle of the season, just kind of relax their bodies, rest their bodies a little bit. That's something you have the luxury to do whenever you have guys like Bernardo, Jarnell Stokes, and Russ Smith that can step in. Hopefully not lose too much. You might lose a little bit, might lose some experience, might lose some savvy, but you might be losing a ton with those guys, and that really matters in the regular season where you're trying to conserve minutes for the playoffs.
Yes, and that's something that Memphis should be interested in. They're only going to be another year older with this aging core. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. We're talking with our guest at this time from CBSSports.com, their college basketball and basketball in general writer, Sam Vecenie. Sam, you mentioned Jarnell Stokes a good bit in our conversation here tonight, and he's a guy who, you look at the five guys that we mentioned earlier. Obviously, Jordan Adams is a lock. I would say Russ Smith is close to a lock at this point. And Jermichael Green, I think he's a lock. In my opinion, Jarnell Stokes is kind of close to that borderline because he is not necessarily what the modern NBA big looks like anymore. He is a bull. He is extremely strong. There's no doubt about that. And he clearly, if you watch the summer league games, has worked on his game. He's got a nice little jumper from around the elbow area that he's worked on. It looks like he's a little bit more consistent with that. He's an excellent rebounder. He's very good at that. But his size, again, if we're worried about Jarrell Martin's size, Jarnell Stokes, his size is even more of a concern when it comes to length and wingspan. So I ask you, Sam, can Jarnell Stokes play in this modern NBA?
Well, I'm not sure that he can play in the modern NBA, but I will mention that I do think that he is probably more likely to be on this team come November than Jamichael Green is, because Jamichael doesn't really have a guaranteed contract. He only is getting guaranteed $150,000 for this year, whereas Jarnell has a fully guaranteed deal for this year. So I don't think they're going to get rid of Jarnell Stokes and eat that $1 million. That's just my guess on that, because teams tend not to do that. Having said that, though, Stokes is a little bit longer than Jarrell Martin. He's a little bit longer. Has like a 7'1" wingspan, I want to say. And that's good. That's very good for a guy that's only 6'8", 6'8 and a half best, I would say. It's something that could help him, and it's something he's going to need to take advantage of, given that his game is built around rebounding and being physical and scoring off post-ups. He's a decent mover without the ball. It seems like he slimmed down a little bit as well. He's probably looked like, I would say, he's more in the 250 range than the 265 range that he played at Tennessee. And that's a very good thing. That's something he absolutely needed to do to even have a shot to defend these pick and rolls on the perimeter and do all of that stuff. He's just an interesting guy to me. Like you said, it's questionable whether or not he can play in the modern NBA, the so-called modern NBA, but he's another one of those guys that really fits what Memphis likes. He's a bull. He's going to really just be a bowling ball in the paint and be tough and be physical and really make it tougher on opposing teams to both rebound the ball and to score around the rim, or to even want to go into the lane whenever you know he's in there.
And if we're being honest with each other, Sam, there's some people across the NBA that would question whether or not the Memphis Grizzlies belong in the modern NBA. maybe Jarnell does fit a little bit better than we're giving him credit for, and the wingspan point is a fair one. You can be a little bit undersized in terms of height and still have a longer wingspan than somebody else. That kind of makes up the difference there for sure. So maybe Jarnell, and obviously the guaranteed money, that's another reason why Jarnell might be in the cards. Finally, as we finish up here with Sam Vecenie of CBSSports.com, follow him on Twitter if you do not already, @Sam_Vecenie. Memphis in the Western Conference. I wrote an article this week saying that Memphis is still a contender in the Western Conference, and I was in the minority of responses, and I was surprised by that. It seems like Memphis Grizzlies fans are becoming more and more cynical. Maybe year upon year of first and second round exits is starting to beat them down. I'm trying to subscribe to the continuity and fringe improvement theory a la the 2011 Dallas Mavericks, but obviously the Dallas Mavericks had a Hall of Famer in Dirk Nowitzki. Marc Gasol could maybe be a Hall of Famer someday, but not quite to the level of Dirk, so maybe that theory is a bit off. My question to you, Sam, where do you see Memphis fitting as constructed? Say they don't pull off one of these trades that they're trying to do. If they go into the season and they play out the season with the roster that they have, how do you see them fitting into the wild Western Conference?
Well, I think that you're talking about a team that's in that top six range in the West. You've got Golden State, you've got Houston, you've got L.A., you've got San Antonio. I think that Oklahoma City's probably going to jump back up into that top six, or at least I think they're going to hope so, considering Kevin Durant is a free agent this year. So I think they're in that top six range at least, and that's, you know, commendable. I think they're probably toward the bottom end of that top six. I would say that they fit right in with Houston, the Clippers, more than they fit in with Oklahoma City, San Antonio, and Golden State. But that really does make you a fringy contender. If you can get, you know, a first-round game at home, if you're a proceed, if you end up being the top of those teams, you get a first-round series at home, you definitely have a chance to at least make some noise. And that's definitely not something worth, like, breaking up a roster over. If you can be a four seed out West, you know, maybe you beat the Clippers in another seven game knockdown drag out series. And you get Golden State or something in the second round, and, you know, I don't think the Golden State would really want to play Memphis, because I think that Memphis would be able to kind of slow them down a little bit. Because, I mean, they caused some problems for them this year at least. So, you know, maybe with another year they figure out Golden State. So it's tough to say that they're not a contender. They're definitely in the mix. They're on the bottom end of that Western Conference contender mix, I think. You know, if you simulate the season, you know, get out your old NBA Live on Xbox 360 or whatever, and you say simulate the season 1,000 times, Memphis probably wins 2 or 3 of those times, and that's definitely better odds than most teams have.
You would imagine. You would certainly think so. And, of course, health plays such a huge role in this. The Memphis Grizzlies, I use the term push loosely because Golden State won by double digits in 3 of their 4 wins in the series. But the Grizzlies pushed or got the Golden State Warriors to 6 games with Mike Conley clearly not who he was all season long because of his facial and foot injuries and all the other problems he had, and Tony Allen with a hamstring pull. Golden State stayed healthy. If Memphis can find a way to stay healthy, and with an aging roster, that's going to be difficult. But if they can spot rest and spot start guys, as you were talking about earlier, if the Grizzlies can be healthy going into the playoffs in a 7-game series, I think they can compete with anybody because of the style of play that they have and the improvements they've made. Matt Barnes is not going to crush you, but he is going to make you honor his 3-point shot. Brandon Wright brings athleticism to a front court that hasn't had it ever since Darrell Arthur, you could argue, and Darrell Arthur had injury issues of his own. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of these pieces are put into place, and health is going to be the key, as it usually is every season.
Yeah, I totally agree. And here's the thing. This Memphis team, yeah, they're old, but they're a very deep team. You're talking about a team that's going Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, Jeff Green, Courtney Lee, Brandon Wright, you know, Tony Allen, Vince Carter, Matt Barnes, and then the 3 guys that we talked about most of the podcast, plus you have Beno Udrih in that mix. It's a very deep team. This is a team that has a lot of options if someone is to go down with injury. So that's another thing to really keep in mind. As long as, you know, they don't be overcome by injuries, that's a good sign. I think probably, you know, weather the storm more than a lot of teams could, despite their age.
Sam, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. We're glad that we were able to get you on, and we'll have to have you on again here in the future.
Yep, anytime, Joe.
All right, thank you so much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Sam Vecenie of CBSSports.com. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at Sam_Vecenie, and he makes good points when it comes to this roster as constructed. Even if you simulate it, I believe he said 1,000 times, even if you simulate it and the Grizzlies win 2, 3, 4 of those times, that's more than, say, the Philadelphia 76ers. That's more than other teams. So, yes, they are a dark horse contender. I'm about to talk to Chris Harrington about this. Yes, they're a second-tier contender. Those are all fair terms to use. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a shot. If you're a Sam thinks in the 6, and I think 6 is certainly fair, but I would say top 5 because I'm not sold on the Los Angeles Clippers or the Houston Rockets when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. But if you're a top 5 team in the Western Conference, in my opinion, you are a contender for the NBA championship. Because outside of Cleveland, and maybe you make an argument for Chicago, Indiana should be better. The Wizards have the potential to be a number 2 team in the East this year. But the West is still considerably better than the East, and I think Memphis has a shot. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, flying solo tonight, and I hope that you're enjoying the program as you listen, whether it's to the live show or whether it is the archive podcast. Make sure that you're checking us out on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us a review or a rating. Make sure that you never miss another episode. And also, make sure that you are signing up for www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. It's a tremendous service, audible.com, powered by Amazon. You can you can subscribe and get over 150,000 different titles, biographies, autobiographies, non-fiction, fiction, everything in between. You can sign up, MP3, put it onto your MP3 player. You can put it on a CD, put it in the cloud. However you enjoy your digital media, you can enjoy a download from audible.com. And if you sign up using this URL, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues, you get a download just for signing up, plus Grizzly Bear Blues Live will make a donation using your fee for joining audible.com to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. We're not making a personal cent off of those memberships. What we are doing is we are giving it back to the community in Memphis and one of the great charitable organizations in Memphis, St. Jude. They do great work with children with life-threatening ailments and their families, making sure that they don't have to worry about paying for their lodging or their care while they are at St. Jude. All they have to worry about is being and getting well. That is not free. That is not cheap. It comes from charitable work and charitable donations that make St. Jude tick. We want to be a part of that process. So once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Sign up for a great audiobook service powered by audible.com, which is powered by Amazon, and help yourself help us with an even better cause. Our final guest this evening is a contributor for both the NBA and Memphis Grizzlies to the Memphis Commercial Appeal. He also has a great pick and pop that is must read for Grizzlies fans and the like that comes out every week or so. He also has a pick and pop podcast that is much listened material as well. He is one of the leading Grizzlies minds out there in the media, and we're excited to have him back on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Mr. Chris Harrington. Good evening, Chris. How are you doing?
Doing okay, Joe. Hopefully the sound's not too bad. My power is out here in Memphis. I'm hanging out at a Starbucks down the street, so, you know, hopefully it'll sound okay.
Oh, it sounds fantastic, and I appreciate you doing that. I know that it's pretty stormy in Memphis. It sounds like it's needed from all the heat and the humidity and all of that stuff I've heard going on, but it sounds like it's getting a little bit dangerous and dark down there. Hope everything's all right.
Oh, it's fine. We had a little minor windstorm this afternoon, and so there's a little bit of power outages around, and I was so afflicted, but it's all fine.
Fair enough. Well, I'm glad that you're able to still join us, and hopefully you're enjoying some Starbucks while you're with us here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. And Chris, one of the major news items from the past week or so, outside of obviously Marc Gasol returning to Memphis, and we'll talk more about that here momentarily, the Memphis Grizzlies Summer League team wins the championship Orlando, a bit of a flair for the dramatic, a couple of sudden-death buzzer beaters from Russ Smith getting the job done. But at the end of the day, while winning a championship is obviously great, sounds like Marc Gasol is excited about it in his press conference and in his interview that he did with Pete Pranica earlier today, and winning and breeding a winning culture is awesome. But at the end of the day, the general statistics, the line of stats, that doesn't necessarily matter as much in the Summer League as, A, did you show that you have a skill set that is compatible with the roster that you're playing for or an NBA roster in general, and B, are you going to make the team, especially for a veteran team like the Memphis Grizzlies? They have five guys in particular that fans were watching. Andrew Harrison, the second-round pick this year. Jordan Adams, first-round pick from last season. He's a general lock to be on the roster. Jarnell Stokes, Jermichael Green, Russ Smith. These are all the five that really were the focus. And obviously, Jermichael Green did not play as much due to illness in Orlando. But there's only so many roster spots on an NBA roster. There's a lot of veterans on this team. There's rumbles that they're looking for another veteran big or a veteran guard to come in and kind of solidify the veteran part of the roster. Jarrell Martin, first-round pick, he's going to be there. Jordan Adams, first-round pick from last year, he's going to be there. Who is going to be on this roster once the games start to count towards the end of October, early November, and who do you think has a shot to not be on the team?
Well, we know at least one person is currently on the roster will not be there when the season starts because the Grizzlies currently are at 16 players. And while it's not a given that it would be one of those four young players, that's certainly a probability unless there's some kind of trade. I think Russ Smith has had a really good week, both in terms of his own play in Orlando and in terms of what's happened on the free agent market. I think when the team was going into summer league, they had a decision to make, and it was this. It was, do we think Russ Smith can play for us and help us next season? And if not, is there someone out there on the free agent market we can get with the veterans minimum who can help us? And I think Russ Smith, you know, while he certainly didn't prove anything in a summer league performance, I think helped his cause in terms of trying to show them that he can be a player this season. And then the other side of that, a lot of those names that, you know, were on the list of, you know, maybe this guy will squeak through and we can get him for a minimum, a lot of those names flew off the board. You know, I mean, Jameer Nelson's off the board. Aaron Brooks is off the board. Several other names. You've gotten down to the point now where if you really have better point guards who are still out there in the market, you know, who's left? Like Will Bynum? I mean, that's, you know, I can't remember what Donald Sloan signed or not, but there aren't that many guys out there left. And so at this point, why not just go with Russ Smith, given that he's had such a good summer league? So I think Russ Smith, to me, went from a guy on the bubble to a guy who's, I would think, very likely to be on the team now. Jermichael Green has a non-guarantee. So you would think that would have him in more danger than some of the other guys, but my sense is that they're really high on Jermichael Green. He didn't play a lot in summer league because of some illness issues, but apparently he looked great in practice. I just think the team is really high on him. I'd be very surprised if he's not on the team. That brings you to Stokes and Harrison. I think Jarnell, even though he has a guaranteed contract, I think Jarnell Stokes is on the bubble. I think similar to the point guard thing, they're going to have to look around in free agency and see if there's someone they can get for a bet minimum that's going to help them more. And I think the fact that Marc Gasol is the only true center on the roster is a problem probably for Stokes. And I cannot see Andrew Harrison on the roster. I mean, no one from the team has told me he won't be on the roster, but just knowing the math and knowing the makeup of the team, I will be very surprised if he's on the regular season roster.
So are you thinking that, obviously, Andrew Harrison, and I certainly agree with you on Harrison, he seems like the odd man out, and there's ways where they can hold on to his rights, but that also this might be an out-and-out cut if they don't think he can cut it in the league. But when it comes down to a second young guy, if there's no trade, do you think that they hold on to both Jermichael Green and Jarnell Stokes, or do you think that they release one of them to bring in one of the vets that we were just talking about?
I think it's a tough call. Again, I think Jermichael Green will be on the team barring some kind of trade. I think they're high on him, and I think he can really contribute next season. With Stokes, I mean, I sense there's probably a little bit of a difference of opinion internally about how they're projecting him going forward. And there's also the issue of, you know, maybe you don't want another true center in your actual rotation game to game this season because Brandon Wright's going to soak up most of those minutes behind Randolph and Gasol. But you probably need someone else on the roster who, if there's an injury, if it's all in foul trouble, for matchup purposes, you may want another actual banger on the roster. And while Jarnell Stokes has that game, he doesn't really have that body. He's only like 6'6". So if there's a 6'10", 6'11", 7-foot center out there who you think can help you as a spot in a player you can get for the bet minimum, I'm sure they'll have meetings where they ask themselves, would we better off with player X or Jarnell Stokes? And the answer to that, I don't know. I think it's a close call.
Listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live, I am your host, Joe Monax, joined at this time by Chris Harrington of the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you do not already, at HarringtonNBA. And Chris, the Summer League guys obviously were a breath of fresh air, especially during an uneasy time for Grizzlies fans who were a little bit thrown off that Marc Gasol hadn't instantly agreed to his new contract. Most folks, including myself, I know you as well, we were pretty calm about the whole situation. We expected him to resign. There was no other meetings. That's exactly what happened. And today was the major civic celebration of Marc Gasol returning. I know you were at the presser, and something that jumped out at me, Chris, from watching it online was the emphasis by Pete Pranica, and I talked about this at the beginning of the show, on character. And this Grizzlies team, whether it be a guy like Marc Gasol, who I kind of cheesily said, you know, he's all people NBA as well, you can make an argument for, in terms of being just a good man who represents the city well. But whether it's a guy like Gasol, who, for all intents and purposes, obviously you don't know these guys personally, but seems like he's been that way for a while, whether it's redemption stories like a Zach Randolph, this Memphis Grizzlies team is built, to a certain extent, on character. And that's one of the things that makes the city love them so much, especially for a guy like Gasol, who was really taken aback, it seemed, by how much appreciation was shown to him today in Memphis.
No, I thought the Gasol stuff was funny, and I tried to tell people, and it wasn't that I thought he was coming back. I knew he was coming back, but I didn't know it in a way that I could report it in some declarative, definitive way.
Sure.
And I tried to tell people that, and I felt vindicated when Gasol made his public comments, because it's actually, you said sort of what I had written, which was that, being someone who is not a Grizzlies fan on social media, anxiously checking his Twitter feed to find out about, to confirm his own return,
right,
he had no reason to be worried about it because he couldn't sign anything until a certain day. And as he said, after the fact, like, he never contemplated going anywhere, and he was just sort of oblivious to the fact that this was some kind of controversy because he couldn't sign. He couldn't sign until a certain day, and people were freaking out that he hadn't signed, even though he couldn't sign. It was just sort of a weird thing, but the entire league was operating based on the knowledge that he was not leaving Memphis. Like, that was sort of a tip-off that every other team in the league was spending all their free agency money because
right.
they knew he was coming back to Memphis.
There wasn't really a ton of concern there, and the fact that it wasn't
right.
more major news, obviously the LaMarcus Aldridge situation was major news. Same thing with DeAndre Jordan later on in the moratorium period, which you can put in quotations at this point. Clearly that is not quite what it was supposed to be, but those were the stories. Marc Gasol was never a story because those national guys who are very in touch with the league at large, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski being the major one, and even local guys such as yourself who are very in tune with the organization, if it's not a story to the folks that are really on the ground and interacting in those areas, then why do people get stressed out about it? Well, because there's social media and you get, you know,
right.
antsy, and there's not much else to do here in the summer. Marc Gasol returning is a major, major story because he is arguably, I don't see the argument anymore, the best player that has ever played for the Memphis Grizzlies. He chose to come back, and now you look at this roster, and we talked a little bit about it in the first part of the segment here, Chris. Do you think Memphis is done for the summer? Obviously, they've kicked the tires on a Danilo Gallinari trade, and that sounds like it was dead upon arrival. Same thing with Joe Johnson and the Nets trying to make the money work on that. Just seems like it was too far of a reach. Outside of those moves, do you see a trade happening? Obviously, we talked a little bit about a possible veteran minimum guy, and that's a possibility. But as far as a trade, do you think that Memphis is done, or do you think that this is pretty much, you know, just the tip of the iceberg and there's another move coming?
Well, I think clearly they would be interested in some kind of trade that would exchange quantity for quality on the wing and thus clarify a fairly crowded wing rotation that Dave Yeager is going to probably struggle to deal with. I think if that kind of deal came along, they would love to do something like that. Quality for quality in the NBA pretty much always works in favor of the team getting the quality. So there's a good reason the Grizzlies would want to do that, and an equally good reason other teams would probably not be as interested in doing that. So I don't see what that deal would be. It was not Danilo Gallinari because the Grizzlies don't have the assets that would pry him away from Denver, given that they already owe two future first-round picks. It's not going to be Joe Johnson because Joe Johnson's salary is so big that the Grizzlies could not have done that trade without going deep into luxury tax. And they're hard cap now anyway, having used the mid-level exception. Is there some other player out there who could fit that mold and where the other team would have some interest in doing that trade? There might be, but I don't see what it is. And so I'll be surprised if there's any kind of significant move between now and the start of the season.
And that's a key point there, Chris, between now and the start of the season. I wrote an article that we'll talk a little bit more in a moment here about, and one of the comments this week on the article that I wrote was that this front office, led by Chris Wallace, has shown a propensity to do these trades right after the new year, before the trade deadline picks up, the movement picks
yeah.
up. Obviously, Jared Bayless for Courtney Lee, that's one example. And then after that was the Jeff Green trade, which may, as we jokingly said over at the blog, it might become known as the Russ Smith trade of 2015.
Well, you can go all the way back to the Pau Gasol deal, which was early
right.
in Chris Wallace's tenure, and was also done earlier than people expected ahead of the trade deadline.
Yep, that's another great example. Yes, absolutely. So he has shown a tendency to pull off those kinds of moves. How likely, and I know I'm asking you to go out on a limb here, I promise I won't hold you to it. I'll make it simple. Is it more likely that a trade occurs at the deadline or before it than it doesn't happen at all? Like, do you think that any trade is not going to happen, or you think if it is going to happen, it's going to happen closer to 2016 than now?
Oh, I mean, I think the safe money, even though there seems like there's always a trade to some sort every year, I mean, logically, your safe money is always on something not happening. It takes a lot more effort for something to happen than for something to not happen. And they've got a pretty good team now, so they could easily just go through the season with the team they have. I suspect they'll probably find some kind of deal over the course of the season that they'll want to do, because that tends to happen. So if you're making me choose, I guess I would go ahead and predict some kind of trade in season. But it would not surprise me if that did not happen.
And I tend to agree with you on that. I think that this team, as constructed, is a contender. And that is what I said in my article that I did this week, Chris. And it got a little bit of blowback. And once again, you're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm your host, Joe Mullinax. We're talking with Chris Harrington, the great Grizzlies contributor to the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Make sure you're checking out his Pick and Pop and the podcast that he does as well. Everything is excellent when it comes to Harrington and his take on the Grizzlies. You put out an article, and I believe it was in a Pick and Pop, where you described Memphis as a second-tier contender. And I borrowed that for this article, agreeing with that, saying that you're still a second-tier contender, but you're a contender. You certainly have San Antonio and Golden State at the top of the West. Until Golden State is knocked off, they should, by all means, be at the top. San Antonio looks pretty darn good. But with the roster as constructed, I made the argument that this team is better than they were last year and that they are a top-five team in the Western Conference, which makes them a contender for the NBA championship because the West is so tough. A dark horse contender, sure. Second tier, as you put it very well, I agree with that completely. But you're still a contender. So I'm going to kind of put it to you here, Chris, and I'll give you my rankings after you go. The Western Conference, and it was our GBB Live question of the day, and I'll go over some of those rankings here in a moment. But if you would please rank the Western Conference as it stands today, obviously barring any other trades or anything like that, from 1 to 8 or so. 1 to 8, how would you rank the West?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm enough of a nerd that I actually do have a process I go through to come up with my predictions before a season starts and over-unders and all that. And I have not gone through that process yet, so I reserve the right for whatever I say off the top of my head now to be completely different than what I say in early October.
Perfectly fair.
But off the top of my head, just glancing at rosters, I mean, I think Warriors 1, Spurs 2, and then I think there's a little bit of a gap after that. If we're strictly talking about regular season, people aren't going to like it, but I'm interested in Clippers 3, Grizzlies, maybe Grizzlies 4, Thunder 5, Rockets 6. I think the 3 through 6 is a big jumble for me right now. I'm a little more conservative on the Thunder than most people just because I'm not going to believe Durant is all the way back to pre-injury form until I see it. If I see it, then that'll change my projection. I think there's a gap after 6. I think 7 is the Pelicans. And I think there's a gap after that. And I think 8 could literally be almost any team in the conference. Off the top of my head, I'm going to go with the Jazz. But I actually think almost anyone can be the 8th seed in the West this year. Maybe not Denver.
I agree. And you said
outside
Portland, of Denver?
I think maybe at the bottom. I think Denver, okay. Portland, I'd put at the bottom. But even them, like, it wouldn't shock me if they did some season like Phoenix 2 years ago where people thought they were terrible and suddenly they won 40 games. I mean, I think there are seven playoff teams in the West right now, and I think the 8 could be just about anybody. I think Utah, who I liked last year a lot, is going to have a little bit of a consolidation season. And they'll be decent again, but I don't – right now, and I may change my mind in 2 months, right now I don't think they're going to take the big step forward. I think it'll be more of a consolidation season, and they'll take a big step maybe a year after that.
I think that's very fair, Chris, and mine's going to sound very similar to yours. But before I do mine, I'm going to go ahead, and once again, I asked this question to our followers on Twitter in the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day, and I'll give a brief rundown of what they said. At TA is my homeboy, the amazing Maddie B., one of our contributors on the blog, said Golden State, San Antonio, the Clippers, Houston, Memphis, Oklahoma City, the Pelicans, and Utah. So similar to yours, except
right.
I believe you had Houston and Memphis inverted in Oklahoma City. But that jumble we'll talk about here in a moment.
3 through 6 is a coin flip for me right now.
Absolutely. I think that's probably fair. Jonah Jordan at JMJ1757, another contributor to the blog, said Golden State, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, the Clippers, Memphis, Houston, Sacramento at 7, which is an interesting choice, and then Utah. No more mud at yep underscore. I know he's a guy who isn't as much of a believer in the Grizzlies as currently constructed. He's a big fan, but he's one of the ones I've gotten into an argument about with this stuff. Golden State, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Houston, the Clippers, Memphis is the 6th seed, New Orleans and Utah. Adam Rubrum, one of our contributors over at the site, said Golden State, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Memphis, the Clippers, Houston, New Orleans, and Minnesota. So he liked Minnesota as that 8th seed. And then finally, need to scroll up a little bit for a later response. Nope, that was it. So thanks to everybody who chimed in with the tweet or Twitter responses to the question of the day. Chris, I think my top 8 would look like this. I think you have Golden State at 1. I think you have San Antonio at 2. At 3, I think that you go, and I agree with you on this, the Los Angeles Clippers. I think that they are going to be a team that has some regular season success once again. 4, I agree with you on the Memphis Grizzlies. 5, I agree on Oklahoma City and the Houston Rockets at 6. I think that you'll see New Orleans at 7. I'm not as sold on that as those top 6. And obviously, like you said, 3 through 6 is going to be a jungle. And then the 8th seed, I was going to say, you beat me to it. I would probably add Dallas to that mix, although obviously kind of a rallying cry, depending on how healthy Wes Matthews is. Maybe they can get fired up post DeAndre Jordan and maybe make a push for that 8th seed. That's possible. But I think the 8 could, you know, really be just about anybody at this point. The Lakers, I think, will be improved this year, kind of a Kobe's last hurrah, and they'll have a good young team that'll get out and run. They can maybe surprise some folks. Minnesota as well is a good example of a team that might be much improved with another year of Andrew Wiggins and all of the youth and talent that they have there in Minnesota. So the 8 seed is a real jumble, but I want to focus on the 3 through 6, because that is fascinating to me. The Los Angeles Clippers, the Memphis Grizzlies, Houston Rockets, Oklahoma City Thunder. So much uncertainty among those four teams, and I think that it's fair to say that those four teams would all probably be classified, as you put it, as second-tier contenders. As a second-tier contender, I just want to give you an opportunity, and I'm interested because, like I said, I've used this myself. What is your definition of that? Is that possibly making the Western Conference Finals? Is that winning a first-round series? What does it mean to be a second-tier contender?
Well, I just think if you look at the whole league and you start, you know, chopping it up into tiers, I think, you know, the top tier is Golden State, San Antonio, Cleveland. And those are the teams that are, I think, clear-cut title contenders. And then the second tier after that, I don't think includes a single team in the East. I think it's these four teams in the West we're talking about. And I think those are the teams that could break through, get to the finals, or even win a title if they catch the right breaks. And then after that, when you get down to whoever's on the third tier, which is going to be, you know, this group of teams competing for the other home court spots in the East, I don't take any of those teams seriously as title contenders. So I guess I would say you have teams that can win a title even if things don't everything doesn't go the right way, and I think that's those top three teams. Then you have teams that could win a title if things do go the right way, and that's those other four teams in the West. And after that, I just can't see it. I mean, you know, Cleveland made the finals last year playing without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and without Anders and Varejao. Like, you know, they came pretty close, catching a lot of bad breaks. They have that level of talent. I don't think the Grizzlies or the Thunder, given their injury issues, questions, or the Rockets or the Clippers, can make that kind of run if they lose key players or if they don't catch good breaks.
I agree with that completely, and I think that the way that you put that is extremely fair. You look at the East, and I think I rattled off earlier maybe in Indiana, Washington, Chicago, but they would need a perfect season and for Cleveland to go through all sorts of hell in order for them to not make the finals. I think LeBron is there. That's basically LeBron's team. He's running the show, and they're going to put as much talent around him as possible, and they're sticking around. Kevin Love obviously being a great example of that. They are going to be a force in the East for the foreseeable future. So you have the West, and you have that jumble of teams, and we'll get you out of here on this, Chris. I have seen in multiple places, namely the first time being on ESPN.com, a discussion of the 2010-2011 Dallas Mavericks, the team that won the championship. And this is a team that, before that year began, there were a lot of people calling for Dirk Nowitzki being too old. There were a ton of folks saying that they just didn't have it anymore. You need to blow it up. But instead of doing that, they made fringe improvements to their core, and they broke through. Things went right. They won a championship. Now, of course, Dirk Nowitzki is a Hall of Famer, and he has a very, you know, top 10, 15, 20, whatever you want the debate to be, talent, skill set. for the NBA. However, these Grizzlies have been together for a while. There's a good continuity there. They added a veteran wing in Matt Barnes, who is willing to shoot the three and had a career year shooting it last year. Of course, people kind of flinch when you hear that when it comes to Vince Carter now, but Matt Barnes, not necessarily coming off of an injury. The Brandon Wright addition is a huge one for this team when it comes to athleticism and the ability to maybe mix and match different kinds of screen sets. Our Andrew Ford did a great job breaking that down. The pick and roll game with Mike Conley or Beno Udra, or maybe even Russ Smith if he finds some minutes, will be fascinating. I think that this team fits that theory loosely, and I think that they have a chance to break through thanks to those fringe improvements, Chris. And that was kind of the basis for my article that I wrote about them being a contender. The 2011 Dallas Mavericks theory. In your opinion, Chris, one that is highly valued and deservedly so, are these fringe improvements enough to get Memphis back to the Western Conference Finals? I'm not going to say the NBA Finals because, in my opinion, if you get to the Western Conference Finals with this team, that is a success. If you, and you're going to probably have to get through either San Antonio or Golden State. You roll the ball out, you play the games, and you see where you go from there. Can this team, as constructed, get back to the Western Conference Finals?
Sure. Of course they can. But again, I think you have to think that the break the right way. Like, to get on a roll in the postseason, maybe you get some luck in terms of what's going on with the other teams, which frankly happened the last time this team got to the conference finals when
sure.
they did not have to go through Russell Westbrook. And so, you know, you just got to catch the right breaks. I think that's true of any of those, you know, teams outside of the big three. And that could be a big four if Kevin Durant is totally healthy, but I'm taking a wait-and-see approach on that. But, no, I mean, I think that Mavericks comparison is a good comparison. Just, you know, be it. And I've always said this. I mean, when I say second-tier contender, some people, I think, take that as an insult. And to me, that's something to celebrate. Like, you know, I mean, there's 25 other teams in the league or 24 that are trying to get to that spot. And so I've never taken a, like, championship or bust mentality towards, you know, the professional basketball franchise in the city. What I want, if you have a transcendent player like LeBron James, you start talking about winning titles. Absent that, your goal, I think, should always be to have a competitive playoff team that is enjoyable to watch and that makes the playoffs and has competitive playoff series year after year, and you just hope one year, like, you know, you that you catch the right breaks. You keep knocking on the door and hope some year you get through it, which is what happened with that Dallas team. And so, no, I mean, I think that is the realistic goal of let's just keep knocking on the door with a good team and see if we can break through. And I don't think that's a bad place to be at all.
And I tend to agree with you at this point. And talking with you and then Jeff Calkins as well, we've had him on the show. And both of you, I used to be one of those championship or bust fans, but I'm seeing your guys' perspective now, and I think that you're right. You have this team together. They obviously have made a very special bond with the city. I've followed sports my entire life. I've played on a variety of teams, college team, high school. I've coached in different areas of the country, and I've worked in different spots and followed different fan bases. There really is nothing that is like Memphis that I've ever experienced. And that's not something that you trade away or you take lightly. And I know that lots of folks in the city don't. Hope that those fringe improvements make it happen. Certainly kick the tires on a trade. It's a worthy venture. But if it doesn't happen, this team has the pieces to be competitive and be competitive at a high level. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ask. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we always appreciate your time. I hope the power comes back on soon for you, and we'll be sure to have you back on in the future.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris Harrington of the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you do not already, at HarringtonNBA. I say this stuff about Chris when I'm talking to him or when I'm not talking to him. He is one of the top Grizzly minds out there. He does an excellent job for the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Make sure that you are leaning an ear when he is speaking or when he's writing. He's an excellent writer as well, and I'm very appreciative to have him on, as well as Sam tonight. It's been a great program here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. And as we wrap up, I want to make sure that I make perfectly clear what my stance is when it comes to this team. Because in the past, as I said earlier in the show, I've been criticized for being overly negative about the team, about its players, about wanting to move on from different guys, and now I'm being accused of being a homer. So let me clear the air, okay? I am a supporter of this team being in the best position to win a championship. if you want to trade away and get better in terms of modern NBA scheme, you're going to have to depart for Zach Randolph or Tony Allen. And at this point, I don't think that this franchise is interested in doing that. I don't think the fan base is interested in doing that on the majority level. They are what they are. They've had success with what they're doing. They're one of the few teams in the NBA, as Chris just pointed out, having this sustained success right now in terms of getting to the playoffs and being in competitive playoff series. If you want to change that, you're going to have to depart with pieces that people talk about putting statues up of outside of the arena. That is a tricky game. You better make sure that you are dominating and winning that trade if you're going to make that move. And they are just so valuable to Memphis that I don't see any scenario where the return on a trade for either Tony Allen or Zach Randolph is worth departing with them at this point. Especially Zach Randolph, who I've talked about on the show. He's a bargain at $10 million a year starting next year. This coming season, excuse me. He is a bargain, ladies and gentlemen, at that money. So unless you want to move those guys, there's nothing else to move. Courtney Lee, Jeff Green, and Jermichael Green isn't going to net you, more than likely, Danilo Gallinari. And it doesn't have the financial backing to get you a Joe Johnson. Outside of those guys, what other piece is out there that's making you better than you are right now? I'm not sure it exists. So you have to take solace and belief is big in Memphis, that this roster is going to continue to strengthen in its continuity. You have to have faith that a Jeff Green and another starting caliber player coming off the bench along with him, oh, plus Brandon Wright, don't forget him. This team is deeper. It has an athletic wrinkle in Brandon Wright that I think is being undervalued by some. Matt Barnes can play the four. Jeff Green can play the four. There is opportunity for a versatile renaissance of sorts in this offense if Dave Joerger has the nerve to be able to try to institute it. Remember, when he first got the head coaching job, he tried to make some changes, and the team rebuked him a little bit. Hopefully, he has an opportunity to understand better his wing rotations, as we talked about earlier in the show. That's going to be a bit of a challenge. I think that's fair to say. But if he's able to manage that wing rotation, find some minutes for Jordan Adams, get rest for these guys, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph. There's no reason for them to play 82 games. Keep this team healthy, get yourself to the playoffs with your depth intact, and then you're trotting out a nine-man rotation in the playoffs of Mike Conley, Tony Allen, Courtney Lee, Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, Matt Barnes, Jeff Green, Beno Udrih, and Brandon Wright. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll put that nine up against almost any nine in the NBA outside of maybe Golden State and those true Tier 1 contenders we just talked about. And when it comes to Tier 2, when it comes to the Clippers or the Rockets, when it comes to the Thunder, the top nine, I'm telling you, I'm feeling good about these Memphis Grizzlies. And I've been accused of feeling too negative about them in the past. Maybe it's the re-signing of Marc Gasol. Maybe it's, you know, just the good mood that I'm in. But I think this Memphis Grizzlies team can contend. I think they have a good shot as anybody in that Tier 2 grouping. Like I said, Harrington is right on with that. I'm not saying they're Cleveland. I'm not saying they're San Antonio. I'm not saying they're Golden State. I'm saying that in that Tier 2 of those four squads, chance to get to the Western Conference Finals, sign me up. That's a level of success. And then once you get to the Western Conference Finals, you roll out the ball, whether it's San Antonio or Golden State. You see who has the better team, and hey, maybe some breaks go your way and you get to the NBA Finals, and we got some basketball being played in June down on Beale Street. The next time that we are on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, ladies and gentlemen, will be Thursday, July 23rd. That is 9 days from this live recording. We'll be back on Blog Talk Radio with a new episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We'll talk about more of these developments, the aftermath of the Gasol signing. Maybe there's a veteran free agent pickup. We'll talk more about Mike Conley getting an invite to go play for USA Basketball this summer. Sounds like they're just doing a couple of practices and then kind of an inter-squad scrimmage, and that's going to be the extent of their work. But it's cool that a guy like Mike Conley is getting that invitation. He's gotten it before, so we'll talk about that next week as well. Make sure you're signing up for www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues, getting yourself a great audiobook downloading service and helping us here at GBB Live support an even better cause. at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Make sure you're subscribing to the show on iTunes so you don't miss any episodes ever. Make sure that you're giving us ratings and reviews. Hook us up with that. Help us get the word out more and more about the podcast. It's grown by leaps and bounds since we started it last January in January 2014, but we want to keep growing it and keep getting it bigger and better. So make sure that you're subscribing and spreading the word on iTunes. Thanks so much to Chris for joining me in the first segment, our managing editor Chris Faulkner over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Thank you to Sam Vecini and Chris Harrington, our guests this evening with great insight on the Grizzlies draft, Summer League, and what the Gasol signing means, where the Grizzlies are in the West. Be positive, okay? Things break the right way. This team that we talked about character at the beginning of the show, and I'm a big believer in character. This team that has great character and great toughness can break through if things go their way. They just need the right breaks, and hopefully this is the year that all of that goes down. They're going to be in a position to take advantage, hopefully, if they do go down that way. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the show. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This has been and continues to be Grizzly Bear Blues Live.